Joining me in studio, we're going to be talking some great things that are happening locally at the Bristol Community College. And with us in studio is the dean, yes, the top guy at the college, Rodney Clark, along with Kate or Catherine Brezina. And she is the director, the associate vice president of development and alumni affairs. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Nice. In unison. We did it in unison. Nice. And they will be not they'll later, if you want to hire them as a solo act, they can do that as well. So good morning, guys. First time I've actually seen you guys. I've seen Rodney at a few times, being at the studio every once in a while, and kind of he actually once in a while is a guest on BCC Chats, which is a show that Catherine DeSimone produces and hosts on a monthly basis, along with Attleboro School Committee member Rob Geddes, who is actually this month, he's actually one of the guests on the show. And Kate is also here. As I said, very important things that are happening at the campus as well. Before we start things off, why don't we tell our listeners a little bit of a bio on you guys and where you guys have been and how you guys can be in touch.
Sure. Well, again, my name is Catherine, but you can call me Kate, uh-huh. Dominic. And I've been here at BCC for just about 3 years now. Uh-huh. My office is in Fall River. However, I am working very closely with Rodney in the Attleboro region. Within the last year now, I've been here often, 2 to 3 times a week. And in my role, I'm really here to build connections with the community. I work very closely with our alumni. We have over 30,000 alumni in this region. 80% of our graduates are living here and are working here and are supporting this economy. So it's really important that we find some of these leaders in the region, specifically in Attleboro. So I've been working with Rodney and reaching out and meeting a lot of leaders in the community that have graduated from BCC. Another piece of what I do is I help with fund development. So we look at, as a public institution, state funding is really waning. So in my role, I work with partners in the community to help us to continue to increase funds that will directly support our students.
And I know that one of the people that was involved in bringing BCC here in Attleboro was another former personality here at the radio station, Ron Straminski.
Yep.
Ron has been very, very instrumental for that. How did the relationship between Ron and the school come together a few years ago?
Well, actually, as I understand it, Ron was very much instrumental in the college establishing a presence here in Attleboro, going on 12 years ago now. And when I first arrived at the college, almost 15 years now, I served first as the director of admissions and housed at the Fall River campus. Uh-huh. And even at that time, the college was making a lot of effort in trying to establish a presence here in Attleboro, recognizing that we could really do some good work here. Uh-huh. And so Ron was one of the key players that really helped us to figure out exactly in terms of locations and who the people to talk to and really make some work here.
And I think, where the campus is now on Field Road, 11 Field Road, I think that's a great location. You're right off of Pleasant Street, one of the former buildings of Texas Instruments, and really kind of behind Stop and Shop, where thousands of people shop every single day. And it is a good, a nice area to be. You also kind of share the space with Bridgewater State in that same area. And I know that there's a lot of people that go to both schools here and there, but you, as you said, you started here some years ago, and you've got a great staff. I mean, you gotta acknowledge, I think, Rodney, that you do have a great staff, and the students there, they're coming out and they're finding jobs. They're getting back into the workplace because they're getting a great education.
No, it's true, and I think what's happened is the fact that we've been in Attleboro for these, past 12 mm-hmm. years, and actually at our current location for the last 8 years, it's really served the community well. Because by having a larger and spectacular facility, Dominic, you've been there, mm-hmm. and it's really enabled us to be in a position to really serve the people that come our way. I mean, certainly we have a lot of students that come through who are right from high school, recent graduates, but also individuals who are well into their 20s, 30s, 40s, and 50s who are looking for a career change, maybe need some educational retooling to put themselves in a better position for career advancement. And so by serving the community literally 7 days a week, all year round, that's really worked well for us. So students come our way, certainly daytime students, evening students, but even weekends. Mm-hmm. And so it's really worked well for us.
Yeah, and of course, BCC, as you said, been here for a long time now. You're basically an all year round. You guys are open all year round. You know, it's not just say, okay, coming up in September, you're gonna come in. You're still looking for new students out there, but so far within this last year, how's been the attendance?
It's been good, although quiet. Uh-huh. In the sense that we've been noticing around the state and actually even around the country that enrollments have been kind of static for the last couple of years. Largely because what we find is there's kind of an inverse relationship between employment possibilities and education. So as employment is maybe not as strong as it needs to be, more students and individuals feel the urgency to maybe advance themselves educationally. But the opposite also happens. When employment improves, people perhaps don't feel quite the same sense of urgency to return to school. And so we've been trying to reposition ourselves, market ourselves differently, and allow people to realize that they can work and go to school either through by going part-time or evenings or online, and just to kind of move themselves along, because the economy is so challenging, as we all know, and something may be strong and secure today, but it may not be tomorrow. And so by adding some pieces educationally can really help them be in a position to withstand those kinds of changes that may come up in the job market.
You know, as I mentioned, you know, the school is always open. Right now, there are people who are looking to go next month. You know, a lot of times the kids going back to school and stuff like that. Yeah. Is there room enough right now as the kids, anybody really, who want to go for the fall?
Absolutely. It's very interesting, because what happens is we find that during the early parts of the summer, there's certainly some brisk activity in terms of people, you know, registering, applying for school and getting financial aid, those kinds of things. But things actually hit fever pitch literally and figuratively in the month of August.
Yeah.
There are students who are rolling in. Maybe they've come back from summer vacation and they're ready to roll by putting things in place. So what we find is that the summer is actually a very busy time for us, not just with classes going on, but also with enrollment activity.
Yeah, and I think that, as you said, classes, as you said, are offered 7 days a week.
Yes.
What are the hours, basically? I mean, when you start very early in the morning and go into the evening hours?
We have classes starting as early as 8 and ending by 10, Monday through Thursday. 8 in the morning until 10 at night. Fridays, a little bit earlier, they finish up by 2, and then Saturdays and Sundays, between 2 o'clock, 4 o'clock, it may depend. Maybe a couple of classes that go until 4, but most of them finish up by 2.
Yeah, I mean, because you know the kids want to take a couple of hours here and there, and your educators, your teachers, you want to give them a few hours to relax too.
Absolutely.
I mean, it is the weekend, but a lot of people, you know, as you know, a lot of people don't just take Monday through Friday. A lot of people, you know, are out there Saturdays and Sunday working.
Right.
When someone comes to you, Kate, what are some of the questions that are some of the educators or some of the teachers or some of the students looking, you know, when you see on a day-to-day basis, because your office is filled with tons of people every single day, what are some of the things that you have to discuss with them?
You know, we see a lot of students that are, like Rodney had said, the average age of a BCC student is 26. So many of our students are looking for that next step. So part of what we're trying to do is find our successful graduates and find ways to connect them with our students. And we've been lucky. Recently, I don't know if you know Artie Brillen. He's a retired lieutenant. He's a BCC grad. Uh-huh. And he met with Rodney and I a couple of months ago, and he said, "What do you need from me? I'd be more than happy to meet with our students and talk with them about the criminal justice field." Ashley Bergeron and Jonathan Rivera, they are both employed at Sensata as design engineers. Jonathan's story is amazing. He came out through one of the high schools and was selected to actually work at Sensata as a high school student, was employed there, and was eventually able to go to BCC, be fully reimbursed by Sensata, and is now working in a great career there. So Rodney and I are working with some of the community development people at Sensata, and we'd like to put together an event bring our students that are doing very well in the engineering field, introduce them to the graduates that are employed at Sensata, and talk about hiring opportunities. So we know that our students are looking to build those connections, and they need to. You know, at my alma mater, I was able to do some informational interviews when I was looking for jobs, and that's something that we're hoping that we can launch. Another grad, Richard Wade, he was the chief engineer at Brown. He lives right here in this area. Another one we have, Liz Raisey. She's new to us, very involved, worked in the biotech industry, also graduated from Brown. When she retired, she came to BCC because she wanted to know more about sciences. And to hear her talk about being in the classroom and mentoring these students that just weren't quite sure where they wanted to go. So we're really trying to build some momentum, particularly in this area, to allow the students at BCC Attleboro to really see that next step.
Yeah, and that's a great story on some of those people, because it doesn't matter how old these people are. If they've gone to school all their lives, some of the older people, and they've already out of the workplace, they've retired, if they've got the knowledge and they've got the ability to come back to school, not just as a student, but as a teacher, as an educator, a lot of the places like BCC will give those people the chance to do that. And I think that's a great opportunity. And when you guys came to the city of Attleboro, Rodney, I know that you were looking for places, and I think at the former Texas Instruments plant was open. You've got all of that area in the back portion of there. You're basically using, at least BCC is using a lot of space as we speak.
Exactly. And actually, Bristol acquired that property just about 10 years ago.
Right.
And, of course, they do engage in a fair amount of renovations. Mm-hmm. And we opened for classes the fall of 2008. And then Bridgewater State University moved in, I think it was the spring of 2009, so just a few months later. Mm-hmm. And it's really been interesting, because what's happened is not only we're finding that BCC and Bridgewater, for that matter, were really a regional educational institution in this area and really underserved. There really weren't that many higher educational opportunities for people in this area.
Right.
And so BCC, I think, is really tapping into something that's really an unmet opportunity. But then to add to that, with Bridgewater coming in on board and for them looking to expand their partnership with us, in fact, we've already announced a degree completion program in the management program at BCC. So in other words, a Bristol student who completes an associate's degree in management can literally go upstairs and finish out the remaining couple of years studying at night to earn a bachelor's degree in management from Bridgewater State University. And so we're looking to add other kinds of partnership programs like that with Bridgewater in the coming years.
Also, being there now, as you said, you've got a great staff. I just was thinking of this while I just wrote that down. A couple of days ago, somebody was, when I was saying that you guys were coming on the air, ask them about how great it is at the graduation ceremonies. I mean, your graduation ceremonies are outstanding, I understand.
No, they really are. It's in fact, I have the privilege of going and being, part of what takes place that day. It's at the Fall River campus.
Right.
But literally you have, 11, 12, 1,500 students, who graduate from all walks of life, all different age groups, all kinds of stories, and it's really fantastic. And it's really the culmination of all the hard work that students have put into it, because, my wife and I have a couple of kids in college, and they have it easy, by comparison, because all they have to do is go to school, be in a dorm, and that's it. But most of our students, they're not that way at all. They're juggling work and family. And to see them progress through academically, most of the students who attend Bristol are part-time, actually,
mm-hmm.
because they have the other responsibilities, sure. In place. And to see them graduate, my goodness, it's really a moving experience. It's fantastic. And actually, it's interesting because every year, BCC graduates, about several hundred of them actually, transfer on to other institutions,
uh-huh.
Whether it's one of the University of Massachusetts campuses or one of the state universities, but also private institutions as well. And once again, our valedictorian going to Brown University down in Providence. So it really works well, because what it does is it demonstrates that the education that students receive at BCC, they can parlay that to other places as well.
Now, you recently had a graduation?
Yes, early part of June.
Yeah. And just hearing the stories, and I love hearing these stories all the time because you've got some people who, you know, they want to try, they want to get their education, and then all of a sudden, you know, they're working part-time, they're going to school right. part-time, and all of a sudden, you become, you know, a top person in your field, and then, and all of a sudden, you hear things like, "Oh, where, you know, where did you attend school?" Mm-hmm. "Oh, I went to Bristol Community College," or "I went to this place." I went, but I have heard three people in the last year or so that I've seen, and just being in the area, and I ask them, like, "You know, where'd you attend school?" He's like, "Bristol Community College." And like, "Oh, when did you start?" Like, "Oh, I started a few years ago. You know, I can go when I want. It's very easy. Everybody is very nice there. And then, and if I want to, I can transfer everything over to another college." This person who I saw about 4 or 5 years ago went to BCC. And I can't think of his name. I know his first name was Jeff. I know that. And I can't think of his last name.
I would like to know the last name, too.
I will find out. I will find out that. And he is actually down. He's actually at Providence College now. He's starting in his second year now, I believe. I'll find that name for you at some point because I know I've seen about 4 or 5 years ago. But I mean, you get a lot of these stories out there. Other than the great things going on at the college, you also have some really terrific film things going on. Yes. I know Kate is into this a lot. Talk about a little bit about this Manhattan discussion there, the Manhattan short films.
Right, right. Well, Dominic, we hope that you will be there this year.
Oh, I would love to see this one. Are you kidding? Yeah.
Yeah, so the Manhattan Short Film Festival, it is an annual event. It's the 19th year that the event has been in existence. And what it is from the 23rd of September through the 2nd of October, over 100,000 people across 6 continents, that includes the United States, South America, Asia, Europe, Australia, and most recently Africa. They will unite in cinemas, in art museums, in universities at BCC Attleboro for one purpose, and that is to view and vote for 10 finalists of short films in all separate countries for the annual Manhattan Short Film Festival. And what I think might be new this year is that each finalist selected will be eligible to enter the Oscars.
Ooh.
So that is really, really neat.
Wow.
Yeah, so for us, we are having a showing on Friday, the 23rd of September, and also on Saturday, the 24th of September. Our MCs are, of course, Ron Struminski
and
Max Volterra. We love Max.
Yeah.
We're having light refreshments at 5:30. And for those that have not been to BCC Attleboro, we've got a great spot, a nice big room where you can gather, mingle, you know, have a bite to eat, you know, get to know one another. And then at 6 p.m., we go in to the theater, and that's when Max and Ron do their thing. Rodney always goes up and talks a little bit about the college. President Sprague is always in attendance. And then you sit back and you watch these short films. And I hadn't watched short films before I had come to this. And boy, I left. I was fascinated. Like, went home, talked to my husband. I said, "Oh my gosh, I wonder which one's going to win." So what happens is you go in, and when you arrive, you get a ballot. And you are to watch all 10, and you need to vote on the best one and the best actor. And then what they do is they tally all of the results, and the public decides who is the winner of this. And then these finalists now will be able to enter the Oscars, which is really, really exciting.
That is amazing. I'm like, oh, God, that I cannot miss that one, that's for sure. That is sounds like a lot of fun. It's kind of like you can see big stars in the making. You know, when they first start out, you've got to start someplace, you know, with short films. I know one of our people here at AACS, Dave Angel, is an award-winning photographer and a videographer. He's done a couple of films that he won recently, which were played at the Columbus Theater in Providence when they do some short films as well. Every vote does count for this, though, as
right.
you said. Every vote does count. So as you said, Kate, how can people get involved in that? I know that there's some people out there who may be listening who want to be involved in this. You know, maybe you've got a future Steven Spielberg
That's
or whoever
right.
out there.
That's right.
How can people get in
yeah,
touch?
Yeah. So to attend, it's $10 per person. And you can RSVP. I'm going to give you the phone number. It's a direct line, 774-357-2007. I will repeat if that's okay. Again, that's 774-357-2007. Our foundation office is handling all of the RSVPs. But if you are someone that produces video and all of that, I went on the website the other day. It's manhattanshort.com, I believe. And there are areas there where you can actually, you know, submit your video for review. Obviously, you know, all of the finalists are being reviewed right now, and I think around the 30th of August they will be announcing the finalists. But it's an opportunity for people worldwide, whether or not they've got an agent or not, you know, to expose their community to their artwork, which is great.
Now, this is a great thing. Why don't you give that number once again for people?
Sure. It's 774-357-2007.
Yeah, I think that a lot of people in this area will probably definitely want to be a part of that, because it's something that I think a lot of people will when they hear that, they say, oh, wow, this is great, you know, because there are a lot of people, especially in local television and even not in local television, you know, everybody's got their cell phones and their cameras all over the place, and they're trying to make, videos here and there. I mean, even here in the Attleboro area, you still have people who are doing backyard wrestling video. But you never know. So anything can happen, that's
right,
for sure.
Right.
Bristol Community College is, as I said, it's probably, I think personally, to be honest with you, it's probably one of the better gems in the city, because every day you have people coming in and out of that school who go on to greater and better things because they've got a community college. I'm a graduate of CCRI. Mm. I went for 4 years. I didn't go for 2 years. I wanted to broaden my horizons with much more bigger things. Mm. One of the main reasons that I stayed there for 4 years is they had a radio station there, okay? Mm-hmm. And I became the president of the radio station by the dean of students saw me. I had graduated from Rhode Island School of Broadcasting when it used to be in North Providence in 1980, came back to the school, was attending the school, and the dean of the students, Dr. Perez, I remember his name, Jose Perez, and he said, where have you been? You know, I was like, you know, he heard me on the radio, and he's like, oh, you know, you lost your Rhode Island accent. I'm like, you never lose your Rhode Island accent. But he saw me, he says, you know, and I was just the person, you know, doing an hour here, an hour there, you know, and all of a sudden, would you like to be the president of the radio station, you know, with your own t-shirt, your own little office space? And like, an office space for a student? Yes. And I actually shared a space in the cubicles with the other educators there. Hmm. And I had my own, was my radio name used to be Don Michaels, even when it was back in, when I started at ARA here 30 some odd years ago. And there was, my name was on my t-shirt. But I think that the best thing is when you go to a community college, you could basically, as you said, come when you want. I mean, you have, you know, certain classes at certain hours. And I remember just about every single day, my first class was at 8 o'clock, and I was done by like 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. But when you go to a community college, yes, you can go to a 4-year college, 2-year college, whatever it is. When you go to a community college, I think personally, you're more in touch with your educators. They're more almost like family. I mean, and I know a couple of people that I know who go to have been to BCC and Bridgewater. When they leave there, they're Facebook friends their teachers, because they feel like they're getting a great education, but they're also, my best buddy is my teacher. And you do have that. I think that's not, I think that's a great, thing, because a lot of people say, oh, I don't know the teacher, I don't know this person. You know, you're going to school and all of a sudden you go to a community college. A lot of my teachers who have now passed, they have gone to CCRI, you know, they didn't have Facebook back then, but you know, you got their phone numbers, you got, you know, you were friendly with them. And I think that's a perfect way, instead of, you know, with these other 4-year colleges, when you go to a community college, you get one-on-one with your educators and teachers.
Yeah, we have a new program that we are promoting. It's called Foundations of Community. And we have graduates that are joining me to interview people like Scott Leet, who's one of our grads, Terry Hannon, Artie Brillen. And when we meet with them, we ask them about their story, which mm-hmm. I feel like you just did a CCRI spotlight. I mean, mm-hmm. that was so great to hear about, you know, how you got in and the people in your life that you met and the faculty that you remember. But one of the big questions that we ask our graduates is just that, who was it that influenced mm-hmm. you? And then that gives me the opportunity to call them. I mean, one of our grads was going on and on about one of the professors. So I looked him up, I gave him a call. He was at home because it's the summer. He's like, oh my gosh, I totally remember her. She was great. You know, thanks so much for giving me that name. So it's for someone in my role, it makes it so much easier to build those connections with the professors because mm-hmm. a lot of our graduates and many graduates aren't going to call the alumni office as right. soon as they get a new job, but they're going to reach out to that professor that they remember and they're going to say, you're not going to believe this. I just moved to California or I'm doing this and doing that. So it's taken about 2 years, but now we have many professors that are actually calling the office and giving us leads of mm-hmm. people to reach out to. And that, again, is better for our students. You know, now they have people that they can look up to and say, you know what, this one's just like me. He started just like me and look where he's gone. So we're excited about that.
Yeah. Well, I think what happens too, just to kind of add to what Kate was saying, is mm-hmm. that within a community college, the classes are small. So it lends itself for those real close relationships between students and faculty members. Average class size is like 23, 24 mm-hmm. students or so. And so it's not like a large university setting where you go into some lecture and you may have the famous professor who's up there, you know, at the podium to give, you know, their information, but you're one in 300, 400, 500 students. You're not going to know that faculty member, and they're not going to know you.
Right.
But in a community college, it's the exact opposite. Small classrooms where the faculty member work closely with the students to really make sure that they're not just understanding, but able to apply the information that they've just learned. And so it really works well for students.
Yeah, and when you have something like that, and I know some of the people that I remember, if they were having problems in the class, you would go to the teachers there, and they could tutor you, you know. And you know, if they did have the time, and I know there are advancements out there, and I know there is a possibility of some of your educators will do that on a one-on-one basis. Yep. You know, if they want to do it after work or on the weekend, they will go to the people's, you know, if they're going to meet at their homes or at a coffee shop, and they will kind of tutor and mentor. And then some of these students, all of a sudden, like, hey, this person is helping me, you know, and I'm not being helped here and there and there, you know, in high school or college or whatever, I wasn't helped. When you go to a community college, as you said, Rodney, you do have that one-on-one mm-hmm. with your educator there, with your teacher.
Well, and it goes deeper than that. Two main hallmarks at the institution can be boiled down to instruction and instructional support. So first of all, in the classroom, absolutely the faculty members are working very closely with students, and within an office hour type of a construct, mm-hmm. the student may work with the faculty member to make sure that they're learning what they need to learn, whatever particular subject matter it might be. But in addition to that, we have a strong library, strong tutoring, strong writing center, where students are learning the kind of tools and skills that they need to be able to catapult to the next level academically. And so it really works well for us, because for me, and kind of reflecting on my own enrollment management background, you know, before what I'm doing now, it's one thing to attract students, to bring them in and to, you know, hail the virtues of the institution. There are plenty, absolutely. But it's quite another to work alongside someone to make sure that they are progressing academically, to provide them with the kind of support that they need to be strong students.
Right, exactly. Rodney Clark, who is the dean of the Attleboro campus of Bristol Community College, along with Catherine Brezina, who is the Associate Vice President of Development and Alumni Affairs, in studio for us. We're going to take a quick break so we can wet our whistles with some more questions with them coming up in just a couple of moments.
Stop by the Norton Public Library on October 6th at 6:30 p.m. for a personalized virtual tour of the cemeteries of Norton. Brenda Sullivan will present a 90-minute lecture on cemetery art, history, and symbolism in a virtual tour called Welcome to the Graveyard. The tour will take attendees from colonial burial grounds into 21st century locations, examining the evolution of cemeteries and gravestones. Brenda's presentation will display photographs of all of Norton's historic cemeteries. Call the library at 508-285-0265 for more information about this event.
This message is for all of you sitting in the passenger seat. And apologies if it gets a little uncomfortable, but how does it feel to be at the mercy of someone who thinks a random text is more important than your life? Someone who takes their eyes off the road while speeding along in a 3-ton hunk of steel. Freaky, right? Well, why not just ask them to stop? Or better yet, volunteer to text for them. It might be a little awkward, but believe me, you'll live.
Learn more at StopTextStopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
The Mansfield Public Library warmly welcomes Ken Lelan to perform in a vintage guitar concert called He Did It His Way on September 24th from 2 to 4 p.m. This concert celebrates the lives, romances, careers, and songs of Frank Sinatra, Les Brown, Duke Ellington, and other big band stars. Vintage guitarist Ken Lelan sings classic American ragtime, jazz, and swing tunes and pairs each song with a vintage acoustic guitar. This program is free and open to all ages. No registration is required.
On September 24th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., the Resources for Human Development in Rhode Island will be hosting the second annual Out There Art Fair. The art fair will showcase the work of a group of nationally and internationally recognized artists and feature art by participants of local studio programs including Flying Shuttles of Pawtucket, Jamestown Outside the Box Studios, and Warren's Top Drawer. RHDRI is an arts-based nonprofit located in downtown Pawtucket that works with artists and musicians with disabilities. For more information, call RHDRI at 401-724-2300.
You make sure his toys don't have any sharp edges. You taught her what to do when the smoke alarm goes off. You do so much to keep your child safe. But are you using the right car seat for your child? Car crashes are a leading killer of children ages 1 to 13. Protect your child's future at every stage of life. For information on the right seat for your child, visit safercar.gov/the right seat.
A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
The 17th annual Rhode Island Dragon Boat Races and Taiwan Day Festival will be held on Saturday, September 3rd from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. at Festival Pier in Pawtucket. This action-packed event consists of Taiwan-style dragon boat races for professional and amateur teams, along with many cultural and artistic events, and the always popular Chinese dumpling eating contest and watermelon eating contest. Join the thousands who attend each year for great competition, fun and excitement, and to learn a little bit more about Chinese culture. Parking and shuttles will be available at Blackstone Valley Visitor Center, 175 Main Street, Pawtucket.
All right, back with us this morning, of course, we have Kate Brezina, who is from Bristol Community College, the Associate Vice President of Development and Alumni Affairs, and Rodney Clark, who is the Dean of the Attleboro campus. As you said, Kate, you're in this area a lot as well. Mm-hmm. One of your offices in Fall River. Rodney, you go back and forth as well, right?
Yes.
You're always, and that's one thing that both of you did say. You're very approachable on the students as well. And I think when you have someone who is an administrator, your administrators are not somebody, even your top person, your CEO of the college, very approachable.
Yes. Absolutely.
It's not like they're stuck in an office in the corner someplace and you never leave. Mm-hmm. Your administrators will come out and talk one-on-one with your students. How about a little shout out on the people that you work with, your administrative assistants there and your administration at the college?
Now, see, you caught me off guard because I'm afraid I don't want to.
Well, you got so many of them.
That's true.
That's exactly true.
Certainly, it starts with Lori Peroni, the administrative assistant. Truly an extraordinary individual, works hard and very accessible and helpful and approachable in terms of working with students, answering the phone, all the little projects that I may give to her as an assignment, mm-hmm. follows through on that. Joe Yassian, director of campus services. And same thing, Doug Carrier, Rebecca Crawford, my goodness, Trish Harvey.
Uh-huh.
I said Rebecca Crawford, I think I did.
Yeah.
Katie Ashworth, Shantae Prelude, My goodness, Keith Carrera.
See, now it sounds like in an award ceremony.
It's true. I know.
It sounds like you're on stage. I want to thank this person.
Right.
See now, Rodney can actually be part of this. Now he can he can be part of the film thing because he can.
Well,
thank
I have
everybody.
To say, because really, in my role, I'll get a name, I'll call them, and I'll say, what is your schedule like within the next 2 weeks? And often they say, I'm available on Friday. So it's getting in touch with Lori and reserving the room, and because I'm not necessarily always here, but whenever I walk in, everybody's just so pleasant. Mm-hmm. And again, they're just like that with the students as well. Mm-hmm. It's very open.
No, it's true teamwork. And actually, to kind of add to that, it isn't just simply the Attleboro campus. The staff is just spectacular, whether they are there full-time, part-time, days, evenings, weekends. I mean, they're all terrific, certainly accommodating to me when I first came in 5 years ago.
Yeah.
But it isn't just that. Real strong connection with our Fall River campus as well. There's a real camaraderie, a real teamwork, where we try to help each other by answering questions and working together, because we realize that students... we're trying to get it right for students. So I may not have all the answers, so I quickly will defer to the appropriate people, whether my own staff or the Fall River campus, to make sure that we're giving the student the best information that they need to have in order for them to be empowered to do the next thing.
We know where the Attleboro campus is on 11 Field Road. We do have a good contingency of people listening right now in the Fall River, New Bedford area, which is comes out pretty popular. Tell us, people, where the campus is in Fall River. I know it's on Ellsbury Street. So whereabouts in the city that is? Either one. Yeah.
It's on Ellsbury Street.
Yeah.
And let's see, it's barely a mile from Exit 5 off of Route 24. Beautiful location. The campus is roughly 105 acres, I think 10 buildings.
Yep.
It's really spectacular in terms of, you know, grass and trees. It's just really wonderful. It really is conducive to higher learning for individuals who come our way. Fall River is approximately 45 minutes to here in Attleboro. So because of that, we have students who are kind of equidistant between both locations. So depending upon their family or and or work responsibilities, they may take courses in both locations within the same semester. And that's certainly permissible, because really what we're trying to be about doing is making sure that students progress academically. So whether they're taking advantage of what's happening at the Fall River campus or in Attleboro, you know, we're there for them.
And all you need to do is just travel over to 24 and just get over that Braga Bridge, and you should be fine, unless they're doing work down there. So hopefully people will get down there. We got some other questions that we want to get through with our guests here this morning. But we do have meteorologist Jim Corbin with our next update on our forecast. Jim?
Well, Don, the humidity increases, and so the threat of rain. We're watching a band of showers now crossing central Rhode Island. It's just about into Providence now, and it'll be into Attleboro within the next half hour or so. So a few showers, then there'll be a break, and then more showers and perhaps a thunderstorm this afternoon. Again, the big story today, the humidity increasing, highs in the low 80s. Tonight only falling back to the low 70s. And then the hottest day of the summer so far, anyway, coming up tomorrow, it looks like low to mid 90s, but with high humidity, it's going to feel like 100 in the afternoon. A heat advisory kicks in at noontime tomorrow. And then it looks like showers and thunderstorms scattered around on Friday, low 90s again. So a hot day, hot and humid. Same thing on Saturday. Hopefully we'll get some decent rains over the weekend. I know it's not good to say that, talking about a weekend, but we really need it. And then it looks like finally things begin to cool off a little bit by Monday of next week.
All right. Sounds good, Jim. We will, of course, talk to you in the morning. And we know we'll, of course, tomorrow morning at this time will probably be a very hot morning out there as well.
And we'll see those temperatures soaring quickly. So we'll talk about that in the morning.
All right. Sounds good. All right. My guest, of course, is Kate Brezina, who is the Associate Vice President of Development and Alumni Affairs, along with Rodney Clark, the Dean at the Attleboro campus. And just saying that... you know, people going in and out of the Fall River campus may have actually probably saw some of that accident we talked about earlier this morning and yesterday about where that gentleman was caught underneath his vehicle, and finally he did get out of the way. An off-duty cop was there to help, and just got about 12 different people to lift that vehicle off of this gentleman. He seemed to be okay. They did an interview with him. Anyway, 8:45 on this Wednesday morning. I was going to say Thursday, and I get a day ahead of myself. when you're the director of development and alumni affairs, you also have to deal with the alumni association, the steering committee.
Yes.
I know here in Attleboro, they have their committee always meets every once in a while. Something that is very near and dear to Ron Straminsky's heart as well. Talk a little bit about the alumni steering committee.
Right. So Rodney has a very robust advisory committee, which is external people like the Rons of the world that are helping him. So what we're really trying to do is build a very, very strong alumni association, mm-hmm. and we're getting there. When I came on board 3 years ago, it was a pretty small group of very, very loyal graduates, which many of them are still involved with us, thank goodness. So within the last 2 years, we have built our alumni association steering committee to about 25 people. We have some prominent graduates that we have worked with to get involved with the committee. We are looking for folks that have started at BCC and gone elsewhere, because again, we want to show our graduates that you can start at BCC and end up at these other four-year institutions. So we've got graduates that are, you know, active from the dental hygiene program, active in nursing, but then others that have gone on to other institutions and might be in the banking world and things like that. But when I look around the table at our Alumni Association Steering Committee, I'm not seeing much in the Attleboro area.
Okay.
So literally in the last 6 to 8 months, I've been pounding the pavement to find those people that can advocate for Attleboro. We used to meet 7 times a year. However, we're part of the foundation. So our foundation, who is chaired by Don Smith, who we know uh-huh. and love, is just excellent. So we usually have our foundation board meetings, and that's where we really talk about the business of the institution. President Sprague talks about where we are financially and all of that. Now, our Alumni Association, because it's part of the foundation, it's not a separate 501c3. So we aren't necessarily talking about budgets and all of that. So what we did is we talked with a lot of our active graduates on the steering committee, and we determined that instead of meeting 7 times a year, let's meet 4 times a year, and let's get our graduates to events like Manhattan Short,
mm-hmm.
and make sure that when we're having our meetings, there's content. So we've been bringing in featured guests to our meetings. We had someone from Workforce Development, which I'm sure you'd probably love to get one of them on your
sure,
program,
yeah.
just to talk about the grants that we offer to community businesses and all of that. So now we had 25 people in the room. We've had lawyers, we have bankers, we've got the dental hygienist, and now they can go out and advocate for us and be ambassadors for BCC. So what we're hoping to do is continue to build that. We're going to have between 5 and 10 slots open this year. Our president of the steering committee has been meeting with me weekly this past summer to ensure that we're doing it the right way. We've sent out 2 emails to the entire 30,000 alums that we have emails for. We've received definitely more than 10 applications, but we're really going to zero down and make sure that we have all of our areas represented. We have a campus in Taunton, New Bedford, Fall River, and here in Attleboro. And mm-hmm. I'd love to get 2 to 3 graduates from Attleboro on the committee.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to do that. And I think, as you said, you're always looking for people from all walks of life. And I think even if you do
True.
Have someone speaking, you know, as you mm-hmm. said, you have all walks of life, people from, you know, all different places. Because if they're talking to the students and whoever they're talking to, you know, there's a wide range. There's a wide range of activities that they can talk
yes.
To the kids with,
yep.
To the students. So I hate to keep calling them kids, because there's a lot of, as you said, the average age is around 26. There
yep.
are some older people, and I think, as you said, Rodney, is when you go to either campus, you're looking at a beautiful campus. As you said, both campuses are beautiful. There's plenty of spaces to relax and, you know. But I like the way you said that there's sprawling trees of grass in the Fall River campus. Mm-hmm. And Attleboro is also unique because you've got some picnic tables outside. You've got some time to relax here and there. When you came here to the Attleboro campus, you came from where now? From before you were here at BCC in Attleboro.
I worked at Roxbury Community College in Boston, where I served as Associate Director of Admissions. Did that for a number of years, and then moved over to Bristol to be the Director of Admissions, and now Dean of the Attleboro campus.
And since you have arrived, and you must have heard some great stories about BCC. I mean, being with BCC, when you started as the dean here in Attleboro, and even till today, your attitude has been has really not changed at all. It looks like everybody has been very, very easygoing at the college. But I think when you started here in Attleboro, you were known to some of the people out here as being a one-to-one person. You always met with people out there as one-to-one because, as you said, you are very approachable.
No, thank you for that. And that's really important to me to be accessible to people mm-hmm. because, like in this role, so much of it has to do with community relations. So go to different organizations out in the community, but also, you know, academic affairs, you know, certainly working with faculty and programming and coursework and availability and such, enrollment management, facilities management, uh-huh. student affairs. So it's really a multifaceted position. So I try not to allow myself to inadvertently get sucked into the vortex of simply being hidden away in my office and just simply pushing paper. I like to be able to chat with students or faculty members and, you know, students, parents and loved ones and so forth to really get a good pulse read, because one of the things that you hear from my staff and all those who know me, even at the Fall River campus, is that I really want the Attleboro campus to be as relevant as possible to this area. Mm-hmm. And I can't do that simply by staying hidden away in my office. I have to be able to be accessible, approachable, and to be a good listener, to pay attention to what's happening in the area.
And I think that also goes with the president of the college, too.
Yes, absolutely.
Tell the people out there who the president is. And I know the president of the college is also very approachable as well.
Dr. John Spraga has just been spectacular mm-hmm. as a president because, in fact, he started 16 years ago, and the college was very different then, mm-hmm. Smaller and no external locations for the most part. Mm-hmm. But to have four independent, freestanding institutions connected to BCC is just spectacular. So the school has literally doubled in size, you know, since his arrival. Mm-hmm. And it's really been, and it's interesting to work with him because what I find is that even though he holds a really high standard for excellence in the institution, you know, that all of us pay attention to, but he's easy to talk to, he's easy to chat with, he's easy to really get a good sense of what's in his mind and the direction he wants to take the college in. And that's really, he has served us well. And so I appreciate his leadership. And actually, he announced his retirement not that long ago, mm-hmm. so he will finishing up the middle of next year. So the college is already in the process to find another president, and those are going to be very big shoes to fill.
Now, when John does retire, you guys are going to be looking for someone outside or in the college. Are they looking for?
Well, it's an open nationwide search, mm-hmm. and so there's a executive search firm that's helping us to, you know, shepherd that process. Mm-hmm. And so I think the applications are now coming in. Right. And so the plan is to begin the first round of interviews, I think, this coming fall, mm-hmm. and then second round of interviews in the spring. And
it's a sad loss when he leaves, though.
It will be.
Because I know that he is very well liked and he's very well respected mm-hmm. by not just the teachers, but the students as well.
And just to kind of give you a sense of how approachable that he is and accessible, he instituted some pretty extensive office hours where he's seemingly everywhere at the same time, mm-hmm. either face-to-face, online chat.
Five places at once
just incredible. And he makes sure that he spends a considerable office hour time at the Attleboro campus and all of BCC's locations. Because, again, he wants to hear from students. Mm-hmm. He wants to hear from faculty.
Right. We get emails at least once a month saying, President Sprague will be in room 209 in the Attleboro campus or in Taunton. He'll be here from 1:30 to 3.
That's true.
Students, faculty, staff, come. Ask him anything you'd like, which is brilliant.
And at 4 o'clock until 7, he'll be in Fall River.
And then he has chats. He has online chats where if you don't want to talk with him face-to-face, if there's something you'd like to chat online with him about, I just think that that's brilliant.
It is.
So it is going to be really, really hard shoes to fill. Yeah. And there's only been three presidents of BCC in our 50 years of existence. So from the top down, I think the Commonwealth has done an excellent job of making sure that our leader is the right fit. So I think we're excited about the next chapter. The chairman of our Board of Trustees, Joe Marshall, who's also a graduate, he's chairing the presidential search. And I think last time I read an article in the newspaper, I think they were accepting applications through August 1st. And like you had said, they were going to do interviews in the fall, final discussions in the spring, and move on from there.
Now, in the last couple of minutes we have, I know that people want to get more information. How can people get in touch with you, both of you? We'll start with you, Rodney.
Well, certainly by email. It's real easy. You can contact me directly at rodney.clark, C-L-A-R-K, at bristolcc.edu. Mm-hmm. Or you can certainly contact our general mailbox at Attleboro at bristolcc.edu. Or by phone, 508-226-2484.
Okay, and Kate?
And for me, I bop around all of southeastern Massachusetts.
You're just like President John. Yeah,
right. Usually people call my inbound line, and it says to call me on my cell, and they do that. So I'm going to give you my cell phone number. It's 401-855-5288. And what I'm looking for are people in the community that want to know more about what we do with our alumni, with our foundation. We'd love to set up some tours. Rodney does an excellent job there. We're looking to work with community partners, businesses, graduates, all of that. I'll also give you my email, which is Katherine, K-A-T-H-E-R-I-N-E, .Brezina, B-R-E-Z-I-N-A, at bristolcc.edu.
In the last remaining couple of minutes that we have also, I know, Rodney, I'm sure if Kate has been, I think she has, BCC Chats. You know, a great opportunity for people out there to know what's going on. I know Katherine does a tremendous job. She's been here a couple of times in the past. So that's another way that you can find out more information about the school is by watching the BCC Chat Show on a monthly basis. I mean, the AACS crew do a great job there. But I think the people behind the scenes, you know, not just behind the scenes, that are in front of the camera, like Katherine or people like Rob Geddes, who's been a guest on that show many times, as well as you as well. And I think that's a great opportunity. When Katherine started the show a few years ago, I think hopefully people are watching that. And I think that's important that something like that is on television on a monthly basis and on a weekly basis.
No, it's true. I mean, that's really what we're all about, just trying to be accessible to the community and using a variety of different media to make sure that case is made. Certainly, whether it's on television, radio, articles in the newspaper, open house events, whatever it might be, we're just trying to be accessible. And you mentioned Rob Geddes. You know, he's our admissions counselor, you know, at the Attleboro campus. And so he's visiting, you know, schools and agencies and organizations and businesses to let people know that, first of all, there's room at the college for them, whether they want to go full-time or part-time, but also to let them know that maybe educationally, maybe they've done some things at other institutions, perhaps we can use some of that to apply for their education at BCC.
Yeah, and I know that you know, you'll continue with all the great opportunities for people, and I know Kate, I know that number once again, people want to get more information about the Short Film Festival.
Yep, it is 774-357-2007. And I don't know if people reach out to you via email. If you get any words, you can just forward them to us.
I can do that. That's not a problem. Well, I want to thank you guys for coming down. This hour has been just like flew by, as always they do. Kate Brezina and Rodney Clark from BCC, thanks you once again. And
thank you.
Hopefully we'll get you on every once in a while to update.